Now, here's our subject today. I'm speaking to you on the subject, the oneness of true believers. And I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, listen most carefully to the reading of the Scriptures. There's seven things here that stand out boldly on this subject, the oneness of believers. Listen to the Word of God, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, men have endeavored for centuries to bring religious people together. There have been any number of ecumenical movements to get denominations and churches and professed Christians together under one umbrella, under one group, or headed in one direction. And this is what they say. These efforts to get religious people together. They say, we all believe in one God, and we all believe in life after death, and we're all going to the same place, so why should there be any divisions among us? Let us unite together to win the world to Christianity. Well, my friend, now listen to me. It'll never be done. Despite all the efforts of all the organizations and people of all generations and all ages to get religious people together, it'll never be done. And there are a thousand reasons why it'll never be done. But here's the chief reason. Religious people will never be together as one because they're not one. They're not one. They're divided over the essentials of faith. The very things I read to you a few moments ago are where they're divided, these essentials of faith. There's one body. There's one Spirit. There is one hope. There is one Lord. There is one faith, one baptism, and one God. And this is where they're all divided. And there'll never be one. But true believers, people who truly know God, and our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the definition of true faith and eternal life. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And these people who know the true and living God, these people who know Jesus Christ whom he hath sent, they are one. They're not divided. True believers have never been divided. They have always been one in Christ. They always have been one. They're one now. And they always will be one. That's true. Everybody, now I'm not talking about religious people. I'm not talking about professing Christians. I'm not talking about churches and denominations. I'm saying that every true believer, every converted, redeemed person in Christ is one. They always have been one. They're one now. They always will be one. They've never been divided. In John chapter 17, now listen to this. This is our Lord praying the high priestly prayer. John 17, this is holy ground. This is the Master praying, talking to the Father concerning his church, his people. And he said in John 17, 20, listen, neither pray I for these alone, talking about his disciples, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word, shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. That's some oneness, isn't it? That these believers, these who believe my word, believe me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they may be one in us. One in us. Listen, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. Believers, listen to me, are one exactly as the Father and the Son are one and can never be separated. They've always been one, and they're one now. And believers are all one, true believers. You see, believers are not one because they're under one law. That doesn't bring them together. It's not the rules and regulations of religion that bring believers into one. And then believers are not one because they read one book. Every religious man in the world reads the Bible. And believers are not one because they believe in one God. James said, you believe in one God, you do well. The devil believes in one God and trembles. But believers are one because they're one in Christ Jesus. That's the reason they're one in Christ, is not divided. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That was Christ's prayer. I in them, Christ in us, and us in Christ, and the Father in Christ. Undivided. You see, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, and that according as he chose us in Christ, and he predestinated us to be like Christ, and we are accepted in Christ, the Beloved, and in whom we have redemption in Christ, the forgiveness of sin. That in the fullness of time, God will gather together all things in Christ. Is Christ divided? Can you imagine such a thing? Christ is not divided. Well, all who are in Christ are not divided. That's an impossibility. Is the Godhead divided? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? They're one. Then if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and Christ dwells in you, and Christ said, I and my Father will take up our abode in you, and he's in me, how can we be divided? How can we be headed in two different directions and believe two different things? Believers are one, true believers, because Christ is one. Listen to this. John said in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another. Now listen to this. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, truly loves, is born of God, and knows God. And he that loveth not, he knoweth not God. He may profess to know God, but he doesn't know God, because God is love. And to know God is to have love. It's to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. If there are no evidences of the love of God being in you, then God's not in you. And those who are born of God love God. They love God. And those who are born of God love Christ, and they believe Christ. And those who are born of God love God's Word. There's no question about it. They're separated to the gospel. I've heard people say, well, he's a Christian that really loves the Lord. That's the only kind of Christian there is. I've heard other people say, well, she's a praying Christian. There ain't no other kind. All true believers pray. You may as well expect a human being to live without breathing as a child of God to live without praying. I've heard people say, well, he's a giving Christian. There ain't no other kind. There's no other kind. Well, he's a Christian that's dedicated to God. There's no other kind. They're religious people now, but not Christians. You see, those who love God love God's Word, and those who are born of God love the truth. And those who are born of God love one another. There's no question about it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It's the gift of God. It's the grace of God. It's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what I've been trying to say on this program for nearly 14 years. That salvation is coming to a person, not to the front of the church. Salvation is to receive Christ, not the handshake of a preacher. Salvation is regeneration and a new birth. It's not a decision. Salvation is to know God, not to know doctrine. That's right. Now, in our text in Ephesians 4, I read it to you a few moments ago, Paul gives seven reasons why all true believers are one. They're not endeavoring to be one. They're not putting forth an activity to become one. They are one, whether they're in Mexico or Canada or Australia or France or Spain or America, wherever they are, they're one. They're one in Christ. They've always been one. They were chosen in Christ, predestinated to be like Christ. They have their inheritance in Christ. It's like Paul said in Galatians 1, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. And I ask you, is Christ divided? You say, well, certainly not. He's one. So is his church. So are his true people. So is his family, every believer. They may not even know one another, but when they meet, they're one. Now, here they are. Here are the seven reasons why all true believers are one, one in Christ. First of all, he says, there is one body. What is this body? It's the church. Now, there are many local churches, but we're not talking here of local churches, local assemblies. We're talking about that one family, that one body, that one church. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no tares in this church. There are no hypocrites in this church. There's no false professors in this church. Everybody in this church is in Christ because he's the head. Christ is not a monster. He doesn't have a whole lot of bodies. One head and a whole lot of bodies? No, just one head and one body. It's a perfect body, too. It's without stain or spot. It's without blemish or wrinkle. In Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, not for them, for it, the body, the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle. It's the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. And in this church, as I said, there are no tares, there are no hypocrites, there are no false professors. And there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither male nor female. There's neither rich nor poor. There's one church, one body, one family, and Christ is the head. And they're one. They're in the body of Christ. And is the body of Christ divided? Certainly not. And then he says, secondly, not only is there one body, but there's one Spirit. Now, my friends, this is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, listen carefully to me. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We have people who say that they're saved, but they're seeking the Holy Spirit. How were you saved without the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he is the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Listen to this. By one Spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. How'd you get into the body of Christ without having the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're not in the body of Christ. Maybe it's not the Holy Spirit you're seeking. Maybe it's salvation you're seeking. Because if there's just one body, and if a person's saved, he's in that family, that body, that church. How'd he get there? Baptized, immersed, submerged into that body by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. And no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So there's one Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit that regenerates us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Bible says we're born of the Holy Spirit, born of God, born from above, born of the Spirit, born of the Word. Not only does the Holy Spirit regenerate believers, but he convicts us of sin. Our Lord said, and when he's come, he'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of unbelief. And all of this conviction has to do with Christ. It's related to Christ. Convict them of sin because they believe not on me, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, of righteousness because I go to my Father and I am the righteousness of his people. And I'm the one who judged the prince of this world. And the Holy Spirit not only convinces us of sin, but the Holy Spirit reveals Christ. Our Lord said when he's come, he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. He'll not speak of himself, that is, independently of me. This gospel does not originate with him. This is God's gospel. And the Holy Spirit's God, but we're talking about the Father. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak what he hears. And he shall not glorify himself. He shall glorify me, Christ said. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He'll take the things of mine and reveal them or show them to you. The Holy Spirit seals us. He's our earnest, our pledge. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. And he's not the spirit of confusion. The Holy Spirit of God, there's another spirit. Try the spirits whether they be of God. There's an evil spirit. There's a foreign spirit. There's another spirit. Paul said they'll come preaching another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. A spirit that attracts attention to himself. A spirit that lauds and exalts the righteousness of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit exalts Christ, glorifies Christ, reveals Christ, honors Christ. And in the Holy Spirit there's no confusion and no division, but he is the spirit of truth, one spirit. Believers are one because they're in one body. And they're indwelt by one spirit. And then he says, watch this now, there's one hope of your calling. One hope. You see, salvation is a calling. Salvation is called the holy calling. Salvation is called the called of Christ Jesus. You see, God is calling out a people for his name. And Paul said, he called you by our gospel. And again, Paul said, do you see your calling, brethren? Your calling? So salvation is a calling. And here he says there's one hope of that calling of which you're a participant, a recipient. One hope of your calling. What is that hope? All right, 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Listen to it. Beloved, right now are we sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus Christ shall appear, we shall be like him. Underscore that. We shall be, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? To be like him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. If I were going to write a paper on the hope of the believer and the hope of glory and the hope of life eternal, I'd write one word, Christ. He is my hope. He's the hope of glory. And my friends, there are no degrees in glory. I don't hope to have a bigger crown than yours or a bigger mansion than you. There's no greed and covetousness among the family of God. He that would be greatest among you, let him be your servant. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. There are no degrees in glory. And anyone who preaches degrees in glory and larger crowns and dwelling places in others hasn't met Christ yet because he doesn't have the spirit of Christ, nor the humility of Christ, nor the mind of Christ. All shall be like Christ. I can't be any greater than that. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. What's better than that? What's greater than that? Every believer is going to be like Christ. All are loved the same, redeemed the same, and all are going to be like him. Anyone who aspires to anything higher than that doesn't know God. And anyone who'd be satisfied with any less than that got a problem. We're going to be like him. like him. And then fourthly, he said there's one Lord. This is why we're one, because we have one Lord. Believers are brothers, and they love one another, respect one another, and help one another, and learn from one another. We exhort one another. But we only have one Lord, one Master, one King. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow to no man. We do obedience to no man. Only Christ. He's the Lord. He said, call no man father. You have one father. Call no man master. One is your master. All your brethren. And he is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord by God's eternal decree. God made him Lord. That's what Peter said at Pentecost. God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He's not only Lord by eternal decree, he's Lord by creation. He says all things were made by him, through him, and for him. And then he's Lord by death. He died that he may be Lord of the dead and the living, lost and the saved. Yeah, there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he's Lord by faith and confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you with me? Number five. Believers are one because there's one faith. One faith. I received a letter from a pastor one time of a Baptist church. I wrote and requested a letter of someone who had united with our church. And he wrote me back and said, we don't grant letters to churches except those that are of the same faith. What's the man's problem? There's just one faith. One Lord, one faith. One faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there may be small faith and great faith. There may be weak faith and strong faith. There may be early faith and late faith, but there's one faith. Because it has the same author. He is the author and finisher of our faith. You're not the author of faith. Faith didn't spring up in your garden. Faith is the plant of God. Faith is the gift of God. That's what he says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, this faith, this one faith, has the same author, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It has the same object. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now, I don't care whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Catholic, whatever you are. Any man who knows God knows him in Christ. Any man who's redeemed believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who do not believe on Christ and love Christ and receive Christ and rest in Christ are unsaved. I don't care where they live or what they profess or how they act or how they worship or what they do. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall never see life. You see, this faith arises out of the same need. We're sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And this faith has the same foundation, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. David and Paul both said, I believe, therefore I've spoken. I believe what? The Word of God. And this faith has the same rest. And then it says, believers are one. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Christ is our rest. And then there's one baptism. Now, many people believe this is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not a second work of grace now. There's nothing better than Christ. Christ is all and in all. He that hath the Son hath life. We're complete in him. But we're all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. Baptized by the Spirit into one body. That's what a lot of people believe this one baptism is. Maybe so, because every believer is baptized, immersed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But there's also one water baptism. That's right, in the Scripture, under the gospel. And that's by immersion. And it's for believers. He said, go ye into all the world, teach all nations, and baptize them. make disciples and baptize them. And then he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, baptism's only for believers. You don't baptize an unconscious person. It's for believers. The eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, well, if you believe on Christ, you can. If you don't, you can't. Baptism follows faith. It's a confession of faith. It's an identification with Christ. It's a declaration of our death, burial, and resurrection. How can you declare something that hadn't taken place? So baptism for believers, the very word means immerse. It's a burial. It's a death and a burial and a resurrection. One baptism, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And what's he like? He's the Father of all believers, Father of all believers, and he's above all. They said, David, where's your God? He said, he's in the heavens. What's he like? He hath done whatsoever he pleased. And this one God is above all. He's above all angels, all creatures, all men, all events, all actions, all deeds, all ages. He is a sovereign God in all things, creation, providence, and salvation. He's above all. He answers to none. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And he's through all. That is, by his providence, he accomplishes all things. By him, all things consist. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, because he works it that way. And he's in you. He dwells in you. Now, believers are one. God the Father dwells in them. And how can they be divided if God's in them unless God's divided? Listen, Ephesians 4, read it again. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. I have this message on tape and another one. Send $2 and write for it. Until next week, God bless you.